Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do with thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It has been said that there are three basic categories of people. The first category, those who make things happen. Category number two, those who watch things happen. Category three, those who wonder what happened. And I think that's true. There basically are those three categories of people, those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, those who wonder what happened. Bartimaeus, I believe, would fit into that third category. For you see, Bartimaeus was sitting by the highway, begging. He was blind. Sitting there by the highway in Jericho, Dr. James Bailey tells us that at this time, Jericho was the most trafficked intersection in the world. All of the commerce, all of the travel, all of the movement of troops between Europe in the north and Africa in the south went through this town called Jericho. It was the gateway, the bridgeway between Europe in the north, Africa in the south. Thus, it was the busiest intersection, the most traveled spot in the world at that time. Bartimaeus sat by the highway while people were moving, traveling, pilgriming, going. He was sitting. No doubt he would hear the creaking of the wagon wheels being pulled by oxen that were snorting. He would hear perhaps the shuffling of feet, wooden sandals on that rock road. He would hear the sounds of camels, the conversations of peoples, everybody moving, going, traversing, but he just sitting. Maybe you feel like that a bit today. Maybe you feel like, man, all around me, things are happening. People are moving. Things are changing. But me, I'm stuck. I'm just sitting, wondering, begging. I think sometimes when we live in a situation, in a community, in a society, or in a world personally where lots is happening, we can feel vulnerable like Bartimaeus did, like beggars. How come I'm not going? How come it's not moving for me? Why isn't it happening? I'm just sitting, stuck. Bartimaeus could really go nowhere, you see, for he was blind. Why was he blind? Perhaps, as was common in that day, because of vitamin deficiencies. I was telling Jessica, my daughter, a few years ago, Jesse, make sure that you eat your carrots. They're good for your eyes. And Jesse was at that age where she questioned everything. "Well, Daddy," she said, "how do you know they're good for your eyes?" And I had an inspiration. I said, "Jesse, have you ever seen a rabbit wearing glasses? So eat your carrots, honey. They'll make your eyes shiny." It is possible that in Bartimaeus' days, deficiency in his diet, a lack of vitamins, produced what was common in that day, certain ailments that led to blindness. But it is even more likely still that it was not vitamin deficiency, but rather it was passed on to him parentally. For you see, Bartimaeus literally means son of the unclean one. He was probably named Bartimaeus, son of the unclean one, because his mother was unclean and passed on some sort of transmitted disease, perhaps gonorrhea, perhaps syphilis, or something else that produced blindness in this baby. For he was called son of the unclean one, and he was blinded, sitting by the highway, listening to people traveling, aware of their moving, but himself unable to really go in the flow. Then, Bartimaeus, one day, man, he hears the news. Jesus has come to Jericho. Now, this really intrigues me. For you see, the name Jesus is the Greek, transliteration of what his name really was. The name Jesus is the Greek transliteration, the English pronunciation of the Greek word, but that's not what his name would sound like in the times in which he lived. The people that called on his name would say Yeshua or Joshua. For you see, Jesus and Joshua are the same name. Yeshua or Joshua, Jehovah is salvation. That is his name, Jesus, Yeshua. Jesus is simply the Greek pronunciation or the Greek transliteration of Yeshua. His name is Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Greek. Yeshua Mashiach is the Hebrew, which he would be called in that time. Joshua. Joshua. Joshua coming into Jericho. Intriguing. Maybe that rings a bell in your memory. Joshua. Joshua is coming into Jericho. You see, thousands of years previously, the Old Testament Joshua came into the city of Jericho. Not for salvation, but for destruction. At that time, you might recall the story. Jericho was a walled fortress city held by the Canaanites. Joshua, who succeeded Moses, his job? To bring the people of God into the land of promise. And now, thousands of years later, another Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, his job? To bring the people of God into the land of promise, not physically, but eternally, spiritually, to bring us to heaven. The first Joshua was, of course, following Moses. Moses was not allowed to bring the people into the promised land. Why? Because Moses was the lawgiver, and the law can never bring you or never bring me into the promises of God. The law won't make it because you can't keep it. So Joshua was the one that was assigned in the Old Testament to bring the people. Even as in the book of John, it says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. The New Testament Joshua. In the Old Testament, the first miracle that Joshua did was he crossed over the Jordan River, and as the feet of the Levites and priests hit the water in the Jordan parted, and he entered into the land of promise and began his ministry. The New Testament Joshua, Jesus, he began his ministry also in the Jordan River. when he was baptized at the age of 30. Only the water didn't part, rather the heavens opened. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, as a dove came and descended upon him. Interesting parallels. And then in the Old Testament, Joshua. Why, his ministry was prepared for him by a prophet, Moses, who prepared the people in the wilderness for 40 years. In the New Testament, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. His ministry was prepared by a prophet in the wilderness named John the Baptist, who said, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." And then Joshua in the Old Testament, after having the people prepared by a prophet, following Moses, crossing over Jordan, comes to Jericho, where he circled that walled city. And on a certain signal, the followers of Joshua were told to shout, and the walls came down. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. You might recall the old spiritual. Now, in the New Testament, Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, also brings his followers into the city. The city of Jericho. But not for destruction, but for rather salvation. To help those that were hurting. To set at free those that were captive. To open the eyes of the blind. Only his followers were telling this certain man, Bartimaeus, "Quiet down, don't shout. Keep quiet, man." But Bartimaeus thought, "Man, this is my opportunity. Even as what took place in days of old, a miracle in this city, so now another Joshua has come to me, and I will cry out all the more loudly. Have mercy, Son of David. Quiet down, don't shout in Jericho." Don't you recall what happened last time they shouted? "But all the more, oh, have mercy, thou Son of David." And then, notice this phrase, for you students of the Bible. It says in verse 49, Jesus stood still. I think of Joshua in the Old Testament. The greatest miracle he ever did was when he was chasing the enemies, the Amorites. The battle had been going on all day long. The Israelites, led by Joshua, were in control. The enemies, the Amorites, were on the run when suddenly the sun began to set. Darkness began to come. Joshua, in the Old Testament, realized, hey, if the sun sets, we can't wipe out the enemy. We can't pursue them any longer effectively. So he spoke to the sun, "Sun, stand thou still." And what happened? The sun stood still. Until the Amorites were wiped out. The greatest miracle of Joshua in the Old Testament. Stand still, son. And now, in Jericho, we see a great miracle. Blind Bartimaeus crying out, and the Son stood still. The Son of Righteousness. The Son of God. Listen, friend. However tired you might be, however weary you might feel, however hot you might be getting, listen carefully. I'll make this quick, but I don't want you to miss it. For you see, you might be sitting by the highway of life saying, "Man, I'm blind, I don't get it, I'm not seeing properly, I'm not going anywhere. Oh, does Jesus care about me, or is he just passing by quickly? Is he going by hurriedly?" Take hope here. Bartimaeus cried out, and Jesus the Son stood still. This makes me wonder, "Lord, I have need. How can I get your attention this day? I have problems and pains and troubles and burdens and hurts and needs. Lord, it seems like everybody else is going here and there, knowing what they're doing, and then there's me, sitting by the highway, blind, begging, not really seeing." I learned from this lesson three things that I want you to jot down and to pray in and to take hold of this day. Bartimaeus made the sun stand still. This time, Jesus stood still. When? When Bartimaeus cried out, first of all, in humility. "Have mercy upon me," he said. "Have mercy upon me." If you desire for Jesus to stand still and to hear you, to help you, to heal you today, I believe that you must approach him as Bartimaeus did in humility. Not, "Son of David, stop and listen to me. Why am I blind? It's not fair. Millions of people pass by this way and I alone am blind sitting here begging. It's not fair what's happened in my life. Poor me. You better help me." And yet sometimes we approach the Lord that way. "Lord, why is this happening in my life? Lord, why are bad things happening to me?" That's a question I hear constantly. Why do bad things happen to good people? The answer is very, very simple. There are no good people. There are no good people. The miracle is this: why anything good happens to any of us who were bad at all. Humility is, in essence, seeing yourself as God says you are. That's what humility is. Seeing yourself as God says you are. Now, what does God say that you are? God says there is none righteous, no, not one. None. None doeth good. I have to see myself not deserving anything. I never pray, "Oh Lord, give me today what I deserve." Because I know what I deserve. Hell. I always pray in this way, humility, "Oh Lord, Son of David, my friend, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I know what I am. I am a sinner. Have mercy upon me." Not questioning, not arguing, not complaining, but in humility, "Oh, Son of David," he cried, "have mercy on me." Secondly, tenaciously. He kept on crying. Even when the crowd said, "Oh, give up, man, quiet down. He's not going to care about you. He's not going to stop for you. Quiet down." This man cried all the more. It is amazing to me how often people, perhaps well-meaning, try to get us to pipe down, to give up, to quiet ourselves. "Hey, don't press the Lord. Don't bother the Lord. Don't keep praying. Just accept your blindness. Accept your confusion. Accept the fact that you don't know what's happening." But you know, I love this because Bartimaeus cried out tenaciously. In humility, with tenacity, he cried out all the more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Arnold Palmer tells the story of how he went to a convention of golfers. There was one group in this convention that intrigued him. There was about 35 men who were totally blind, and yet they were avid golfers. "How can this be?" he asked these fellows. "Well," they said, "it's very simple. We tee the ball off and we hit it. And then the caddy goes by where the ball lands and he rings a bell. We walk over to where the bell is ringing. And then the caddy goes to the next position towards the hole and rings the bell. And we ring and we hear the bell ring and we shoot our balls towards where the bell is ringing until we make it into the hole." Incredible, Arnold Palmer says. And this guy said, "You know, I am absolutely convinced that I can beat you in a game of golf. Using my technique, you play your way, I'll play my way, and I can beat you." Arnold Palmer said, "That's impossible, man. You're kidding me. How can that be?" This guy said, "I'll bet you $10,000. I will place $10,000, this is a true story, $10,000 on this wager right now that I can beat you soundly." And Palmer said, "Okay, I don't want to take, okay, how can I refuse this challenge?" So they shook on it. And Palmer said, "Okay, now when do you want to play?" 11 o'clock, the guy said, "Tonight." I like like that man. That blind golfer was tenacious in pressing Palmer and came away $10,000 the richer. So too this blind man was tenacious in pressing the Savior. Oh, son of David, I care not what the crowd is saying, what others are telling me that I should quiet down and just live in my blindness, in my beggarly lifestyle. Lord, have mercy upon me. And he cried all the more. Thirdly, finally, not just did he cry out with humility, have mercy upon me, tenaciously, he kept crying, but expectantly. For you see, when Jesus called the man after the sun stood still in verse 49, the Son of Righteousness standing still, bring him to me. This man came, and notice verse 50, he cast away his garment. That's beautiful to me. He cast away his garment. The garment that beggars wore in those days was specially striped. That is, it was a beggar's garment that people that walked by might know that that man was legitimately begging. He could not see. There was no way of supporting himself financially. And so the beggar's garment, a sign that this man was a legitimate beggar, he takes it off. What does he do? Throws it down. He says, in so doing, I know that Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, who comes to this Jericho, is going to heal me. I know something is going to happen. Hey, faith is where it's at, and this man had just that. With expectancy, he came to Jesus. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Faith is what sees the invisible. Faith is what believes the impossible and receives the incredible. Faith. It's got to be your faith. Faith is like a toothbrush. Every man should have one. Every man should use one, but you can't use somebody else's, or you shouldn't. And so too with faith, you can't depend upon my faith or your husband's faith or your neighbor's faith. Today, you need to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I'm begging and blind and sitting by the highway of life. I don't get it. I need help. You need to cry in humility. You need to cry with tenacity. I'm going to keep coming to you, Lord. I will not stop crying out until the sun stands still in front of me. And you need to cry out with expectancy. I believe that I am going to leave this beggar's garment behind. Faith. Did you see the interview a couple of days ago by Emma Nepper? She's 100 years old. And on her 100th birthday, she was being interviewed. Her husband is 104. He's still alive. And the interview on her birthday asked Emma Nepper, Emma, do you have any children? And with a twinkle in her eye and a smile on her face, she said, not yet, honey. That's expectancy. Faith, man. Faith. It sees the invisible. It believes the incredible. And it receives the impossible. Faith. Bartimaeus, what do you want? I want to see. Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. You cried out to me in humility. You kept crying with tenacity. And you believed me with expectancy. Now go your way. And it says, Jesus, after telling him that, Bartimaeus received his sight and was made whole, and he began to follow Jesus in the way. Not just receiving a gift, but following the giver from that time on. He said, man, you're the one. Now his life has direction. No longer sitting on the highway watching life go by. No longer blind, wondering what happens. But now he has purpose and direction. Touched by Jesus, he now becomes a follower of Jesus. That's my prayer for you today. You who are not saved, that this might be the day in which you admit, hey, I don't see what's happening eternally. I don't get what's going on in my life presently. I need to be touched. Oh, Joshua, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And I'll tell you, if you cry out in humility, with tenacity, in expectancy, the sun will stand still and give you sight this day. For you who are believers, who are confused about what you should do or where you should go, don't just hear this message and go home and mow your lawn, but rather hear this message and may today be the day when you say, I am going to do what Bartimaeus did. I am in the Jericho that I'm living in, going to cry out today until the Lord stops in front of me, until the sun stands still, until I receive that direction, that instruction, that revelation, that illumination that I need. And believe me, He will. He will. The Lord will. The sun stood still. Let's pray. And now, Father, on this day, I pray in Jesus' name that this might be a moment, Lord, when those who are blinded by sin, confused about life, wondering where they're going, what's happening, that this might be the moment, Lord, in which right now there is a crying out to you in their inner person, a receiving of you according to the promise of your word. For you said that you would in no wise cast out any who come your way. In this day, Lord, we cry out. Those of us that do know you, we pray in Jesus' name that this might be a moment, Lord, when all of us would heed the example of Bartimaeus and learn the lesson. Leave our beggar's garments behind, the garments of unbelief, the robes of doubt, of cynicism, that we might cast them aside, and at this moment, Lord, that we might come to you and receive from you that insight and understanding and help and provision that we have need of. We believe you for this. Because, Father, we cry out in the name of Jesus, have mercy upon us. Hosanna, save now. Hear our cry, O God of Israel. Yeshua Mashiach, be our Savior. Lord, stand still before us that we might follow you more closely this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray.